Welcome back. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this session. Thank you for your word. Just pray that we continue to stay in the right direction in your plan for us. And we just always ask that we have the focus and the concentration we need to grow spiritually and to glorify you. We thank you for all these things and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back to really looking at the contrast of where you came from and what you have available to you now as a new believer in Jesus Christ. And I say new, but some of you have been Christians for a very long time, and I don't mean that it's new in that aspect, but I do mean that we have so much available to us that is new as far as the spiritual life is concerned. And that's the things that Paul is really focused on telling these believers, that it's not just the physical temporary life, it's the eternal and spiritual life. There's the really the contrast, right? And that's what we tend to gravitate to, at least hopefully, on the spiritual side of that. So, and I do wanted to mention that Paul has, you know, quite a bit to say about, you know, motivating Christians who don't realize their calling. You know, he wrote a lot of scripture that has to do with believers who weren't necessarily growing in accordance with God's word. And so he has a lot to say about that. And, you know, part of, I feel like we're still really talking about denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. That's really still what this is all rooted in, because we're going the long way around, but we're still talking about what every Christian responsibility is when it comes to God's plan for your specific individual life. And so Paul has something to say about that, and he's encouraging believers to recognize their calling, recognize that they are not only believers in Jesus Christ, but what to do next with that, because remember, some of them weren't doing that. One of those places he does that in is Ephesians 4:1, and I'll read it. It says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." And that's basically what that means. We've been called, right? But we need to get to a point where we're walking worthy of that calling that God has called us into. So apparently these people weren't doing that. And that's why you notice the word he uses is he's urging them. He's urging them. In other words, there's a time sensitive information that I've got to give you, and I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you were given right from the beginning, right? And to recognize that. So, and I think that's, we've talked about all these reasons. Everything that we've talked about is really focused on not just the identification of what you are, but what you're called to do. It does require action, or there's an expectation, I should say, that God has placed because of the great benefit that he's given us. There's also an expectation on how to live and how to do it and how to go about it. And we know there's also consequences to not doing so, right? We realize that if we live in a way that is just to the world and not to God, we'll have to lose out and miss out on a lot of the things that he offers. I mean, mainly happiness. Who doesn't want to be happy on this earth? So, and that's really what Mark 8:35 says, going back to our kind of our original passage. I don't have the slide, but Mark 8:35 says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" That's kind of what we've been discussing. That's why Paul's motivating them, showing them their identification in Christ. That's why he's urging them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, because what this verse is telling us right here is it's talking about profit. It's not talking about positional salvation. It's not talking about eternal life. It's talking about profit. What does it profit a man? You know, I've seen many Christians who forfeit their souls because they've given in to the world, and the world just destroys because it gives you back sin in your own life and it makes you spiritually unhealthy. And that's what this verse is referring to by forfeiting. You're giving up the things that you could have. We're giving those up. We're losing. And when we do accept those things of the world, we always do it at the expense of the spiritual life. Always. There's always a give and take. And when you take the things that Satan offers through the world, even though they may appear to be innocent, they may appear to be good. At the end of the day, what they leave you with is not only distancing yourself from God, but damaging your own spiritual life. And that's what the word is actually referring to here. And that's what really ruins it for a lot of people, is they put the emphasis on this life. This, I'm talking about physical life, the things that we can do and enjoy, and they forego the spiritual life. Remember, those two have to be in sync, or else you can't really enjoy the physical life. If your spiritual life isn't up to date, your physical life isn't going to somehow solve the spiritual issue. We have to address the spiritual issue first and then enjoy the physical issue or physical life. We always try to do that in reverse, or sometimes we do. So, and people get so wrapped up with the things in life, like circumstances, well-being, how you're feeling, how you're doing, right? Material things, all the desires that we have on this earth, those are real things. But how far do you take them? Where in your thinking do they take place? If they're first, what's going to suffer is the spiritual component of your life. And that's the damage that this verse is what we're talking about foregoing. So, and we do sometimes put too much emphasis on the things of these of this world. So, it kind of reminded me, I was listening to an interview of a very, very popular band, and this particular band member was a drummer, and he was saved at this point in his life, but he was talking about when the band made it big. They made it big. They were, you know, huge at that point. Success, right? Just instantly fell in their lap because they had, you know, so many number one hits. And what he was saying was, looking back, he said, when that hit, he said, you can almost instantly see how everyone got more and more unhappy because of the success that the world had given them. There was no spiritual life. Remember, they were all unbelievers at that point. But you would think just the opposite. The world would say, wow, well, the success should have made them happy. But he said it did just the opposite. And the reason for that is because when we look to those things for that happiness, it leaves us null. It doesn't give us what we desire back because there's no spiritual value in those things. There's no spiritual value. So, and I thought that was interesting that he could look back as a believer and see that. You know, that's really when we started having all the problems. When success hit, that the happiness that we had was taken away by success. So that's the options that we have. Choosing for the benefits that God offers or choosing for the world. So the word forfeit in this verse, forfeiting the soul, is the word I was telling you about. It means to suffer loss, to damage or suffer loss. And that's really talking about spiritual unhealthiness that we're all vulnerable to, I would say. I know we've been talking and growing spiritually and talking about your identity in Christ and your calling. But look, every single one of us are capable of being spiritually unhealthy. We're capable of choosing for the world over and above what God wants us to do in our life. Very easy to do, as you know. You walk outside these doors, everything and everyone is influencing you to do just the opposite, to take your time away from the Word of God and studying the Word. So you got to have, I guess, that priority set, or you will be opening the doors to spiritual unhealthiness, which is damage or loss, which I think really leads to unhappiness, right? Of course, the word prophet in this verse, and let me just read that one more time since I don't have the slide up here. It says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I think you can understand what that is, but the profit here means benefit, to do good, to help you. In other words, what does it matter if you were given everything that you ever could desire on this earth? What does it benefit you? It's saying it doesn't. Now you may say, well, yes, it does, because I bought this, and I was having a lot of fun. This is talking about spiritual value that isn't just going to disappear and leave you feeling miserable, empty, lost, alone, depressed, angry, bitter. That's what this is talking about. The damage that the things bring in when we focus on those things is what the scripture is talking about. And then it's saying, what profit do they give you? And the answer is none. None at all. They can't be enjoyed without spiritual health. They can't be enjoyed. We can try to enjoy them without spiritual health, but at the end of the day, those very things that you tried to enjoy will turn into the sources of your misery. The very sources that we thought would provide us happiness. So, gain here. What are you trying to gain? I think that's the key word in all this. Gain. What are we trying to gain? Where are we trying to get or receive our gain from? What are the objects, or what's the source of our gain? The word gain means to acquire by effort or investment. Oh, wow. Well, is it spiritual? Is it physical? I don't know. What are you trying to acquire by effort? And what are you investing in your time? Well, got this house, got these rent houses. I've established this. I have this property, that property. I've got all these things. I've got this career, that career. What are we investing our time in? Because guess what? All those things are going to go away. All those things are going to be gone at some point. Not even a thought. They've got to have some spiritual value to go along with them so you can have meaning and purpose in life. You ever think about that? When you have something and there's no spiritual component attached, it loses its purpose. It loses its meaning. And we, as human beings, we seek purpose and meaning from whatever we're around. If we're around those things, we're looking for meaning and purpose. But if we have the spiritual component of health in our spiritual life first, the value's already there. See, the value doesn't come from the objects. It comes from what's inside of you. It comes from your soul. You have to bring the spiritual value wherever you go. And that's really where these verses are getting at, and where what they're talking about here. So we have to understand about what we're investing in, and that will indicate and tell you where you're spending the majority of your time and where your priorities are. I would say move towards the spiritual if you want good results, because that's really the only true gain for a believer in Jesus Christ, is in living for God, living for God. Remember Christ, the analogy was dying to sin and living for God. That's the only way we can do that. And if you're not doing that, guess what? What kind of investment are you making for your future? You're not. You're not. There's no investment that you're making for the future, at least spiritually, we can say, as far as the judgment seat of Christ that we're all going to be judged by. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but we're all judged on how we lived this life. Big deal, right? So don't think I'm not capable of falling off the wagon spiritually. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. Because we're human beings and we have a tendency to lose patience, lose sight of the end goal, lose the divine perspective, and all of a sudden now we're jumping over to the world, right? This life. It's so fast. We can just go do this, go do that, get this satisfaction, get that satisfaction, right? We think in our minds that that's going to solve the problem. And on top of that, it's very, very deceiving. I was reminded of, I don't know if you've ever come across the name Demas in the Bible, but he was a believer. He was actually Paul's right-hand man in ministry. And what's interesting about Demas is he fell off back into the world. And I wanted to read you this. This is in 2 Timothy, where Paul, this is Paul writing to Timothy. This is Paul's letter. Remember, Demas is Paul's right-hand man. And this is what he says about Demas. 2 Timothy 4:9, it says, "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." So, you see what happened. He was in ministry. You can see that from Philemon 24. He was Paul's fellow worker, is what the word used in the ministry. Believer in Jesus Christ, dedicated, faithful, working with Paul. And what happened? He loved the present world too much. And he left Paul. He deserted Paul. He deserted his ministry. He moved away from his calling because of all the fun he was having, all that he thought he was having in the world. And that's interesting because guess what 2 Timothy is? It's Paul's last letter. This is getting closer to Paul's death. This is getting closer to the end of his life. He's facing serious persecution at this point in his life. And all of a sudden, one of his fellow workers in the ministry has left him. That's why he's saying, "Come to me soon." He's asking for a little bit of assistance. I mean, you can see this in two verses earlier. Look at verse 6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." That's what he says just right before. It says, "Demas left me." So we're capable of doing the very same thing as Demas, who was Paul's right-hand man in the faith. And all of a sudden, now those things that were so important to him, are no longer important. They're no longer important. And Paul is feeling that. So I just wanted to show you that because, you know, you get it kind of caught up in, okay, I'm growing spiritually, I'm moving in this direction, and you tend to ignore the subtleties of getting pulled away from the direction you're going. We have to be very, very aware of the things that take us away as believers in Jesus Christ, away from the right direction, away from the upward direction of growing spiritually, because there's so many. They're hard to keep track of. It could be that one friend that has no interest in your spiritual health. It could be those, whatever you're involved in, the group of people. It doesn't have to be one person. But just be careful because so many people are willing and open and ready to take you away from the real value in your life. And they don't really care about what you think is valuable. I mean, is that really a good friend? I would say no. If they're not interested in your interest. So, and then I wanted to show you 1 Peter 2:24, at least jotted down as a good verse for what we've been talking about. And let me read it to you. It kind of sums up what we talked about, the old self and the new self. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree," referring to Jesus Christ, "that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." So now all of that it is still really talking about following Jesus. I wanted to point all those verses out to you. All this study about the calling, everything that we're talking about is about following Christ. Going back to Mark 8, 34 and 35, what we originally started this study with. Right, going right back to it. So here's where we started this. Mark 8, 34. This is Jesus. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I've talked about those other words in there, but I haven't talked about the word follow. This is actually the third command in this verse. Remember, we had denying yourself. We studied that. Taking up your cross. That's a very personal issue. What God has for you specifically as a, you know, in your specific circumstance, and also following Him. But I do notice that there is an order that comes with this. If you wish to come after me, notice that it all starts with just a desire. You have to desire something before you can see the end goal, before you can see it become a reality in your life. You notice that things don't seem to happen unless you desire first that they happen. And that's what how it starts. If you wish to come after me, he must do this, this, and this. So he's basically giving us the playbook, because the commands follow after the desire to come after him. And here we are finally to follow, the word follow. We've kind of been working towards this. The word, the Greek word means, of course, it does mean in a literal sense as well. You can follow behind someone, right? But this is the figurative sense. And it means to follow as a student. Or it can mean to comply with. Whoa. Wow. That's kind of harsh, right? That's a strong language. Everybody was good with following someone. But when I read the word comply, in our minds we say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out. To comply with. That's only for the missionaries and the pastors and the guys in the, you know, in all that stuff. Right? No. This is referring to you and I as believers of Jesus Christ. If we're going to follow, there is a component of following that comes with being acceptable or receiving to the leader, to the one we're following, to the one we're accepting his words to follow with. So there's a desire, and then there is a, what this is saying, a complying that goes with that. Now, remember the order, denying yourself, which means denying your own desires for the sake of God's. Picking up your cross comes with the territory of following Jesus. It kind of all rolls one after the other. You got the desire, and then you have the three commands. And so, and that's really why I think we took so much time on that verse, that I just wanted to show you that following Christ doesn't consist of showing up to church. It doesn't consist of following certain religious rules or religious traditions or doing things that we think are right. This is a relationship that we've been talking about. Following Christ is following a real person. It's following someone whose mind we're studying on a consistent basis so we can get to know him, so we can actually know what he desires us to follow. If you don't have the information about the leader, how do you know how to follow? We don't. But that's what we're growing towards. That's what we're moving towards. We're gaining that information, I like to think. So the word here, comply, means to act in accordance with another's command, rule, or request. Well, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The Word of God has rules. It has commands. It has requests that God asks of us. We can see all these things. They're not all commands. They're not all in the imperative mood. Some of them are just ways to encourage, Some of them are subtly kind of showing us the right way, right? But some of them are commands saying, hey, do this. But you see, there's not just one thing. Command, rule, or request, all included in following. Following. And apparently, that's what the sin nature has a hard time doing. The sin nature that's inside of your body has a hard time following, complying, submitting any command, rule, or request. It does. That's just the nature of the beast that comes with the sin nature. It doesn't like authority. It doesn't like a leader. It doesn't like to be taught. It doesn't like to receive truth. It doesn't like to change its way of thinking. I want to do it this way, and that's the way I'm going to do it. That's the sin nature. That's the nature of the sin nature. It does its way, and it excludes any truth or good advice that could penetrate it. So that's why I wanted to show you that, because when you hear the word following, you say, okay, I can do that. But when you hear the word complying, your sin nature says, wait a minute, you got to change something? You have to actually receive and accept and make a change in your life? That can be, you know, that can be hard for some people. And that's exactly why a lot of people aren't growing spiritually. Because it's too much of a burden for them to receive something that is changing their mind and to change their ways. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Kind of sad, right? So, and that's the process that we have to deal with. Or that we go through, I should say. We take the Word of God, we hear it, we receive it, and what do? We comply. Or at least, if you want to see the benefits, if you want to see any benefits of the Word, you accept it as truth and you live it out. In other words, you take it personal and you change your thinking as a result and you take the advantages. That's complying with, that's following. That's what following means. You can't follow someone without obedience. It's an impossibility. We can't sit on the sidelines and watch this occur without any obedience in the following. It's an impossibility. What happens is you lose the leader. You lose the one you're following. The distance continues to grow because there's no information about the leader on the rules on how he wants you to follow. You don't know what to do. How am I supposed to think if I don't know what the leader wants from me? It's a very simple concept, but there's not a lot of Christians who are doing that. There's not a lot of Christians who are doing that, unfortunately. I think really the order of today is not complying to God's word. So, but there is a process. There is a process, right? And I do think denying yourself comes into this process, because I'll be the first to tell you this isn't something you always want to do. It's not. It's good. It's what we're supposed to do. But it's not something you're always going to want to do. But that's why the command to deny yourself was in there. Because your sin nature is going to say, you know what? You don't need to go out of your comfort zone. Just, you know, you just don't go out of your comfort zone. You don't do, that's too much. You know, that's really too much. See, we have to deny ourselves for that specific reason right there, because you will never come out of your comfort zone. Never. Why? Because you're not trusting in what God can do in your life. You're not following the leader. You don't have the necessary information to move forward in a way that is, your confidence is based on Him, not on yourself. We can stay putting confidence in ourselves, but guess what? You're going to stay right where you are spiritually. If you want to keep putting confidence in yourself, you're going to stay exactly where you are spiritually. Things aren't going to change. You're going to continue to fail the test in life that life throws at you. It's going to continue to be the same thing over and over and over again. You've just got to, these three commands are in this order for a specific reason. So, you got to get closer, closer and closer. When we're following someone, the idea is to follow them as closely as we can so we don't lose them, right? And I don't want you to think of that as losing your salvation at all. But what I want you to get the idea of is we've got to stay close. We have to stay close as we can. And that goes back to that relationship. A big part of this also that I really haven't mentioned that too much is the Christian's response to their calling. You know, everybody's called, but how many Christians actually respond to that calling? I don't think a whole lot. I don't think a whole lot of Christians do. I think we all know that the calling is there, but not a lot of us respond positively in that direction. I mean, the Bible's clear on that, right? The majority of people, God, you notice that the majority of people is not what God is using. God is using the minority in the Bible, the ones who rise up and step up for to stand on the word of truth and allow God to use them to be great for Him, not their personal circumstances. It's easy to be great in this life, physical life, right? Go do this, go do that, go make a certain amount, go whatever, the American dream, right? That's what everybody wants, to be great, but they're missing out on the real greatness. We're losing out, we're missing out on the Christians responding to the calling that every one of you had. Why live this life and miss out on something that's so great? I don't know, but that's what's happening today. Satan has convinced everybody that the true calling and the true value is in the spiritual life, in the physical life. So you've got to respond. There has to be a response. I can't just sit here and yell at you, you know, speak to you and yell at you, teach you, encourage you, and I can only do so much. You've got to do something with it. You've got to take it. You've got to run with it. You have to respond to it. It's not me, right? It's the Word of God. It's God Himself. So, and that's kind of what I've tried to emphasize throughout this study, that Christianity is about knowing God. It's not about setting the example of some denomination. It's about setting the example of Jesus Christ. It's not about, you know, recruiting people into a denomination, a man-made denomination on top of that. It's about recruiting people for Christ. That's what this is about. We can't get it sideways and say the focus is here when it's here. We can't do that because that's not at all what the Scripture's saying or where the emphasis is. Remember, there's people that fall into different categories. You've got the unsaved. You've got believers who are somewhat growing. I call them lukewarm believers. You have believers that are not growing. I call them stagnant believers. And I would say the calling hasn't been answered in all those circumstances. Do you realize that the majority of people fall into those categories? The majority. And God is trying to get people to respond to their calling. And guess what? I left out the growing believer for a reason. Because they're the ones that God is using to get these people to recognize their calling, respond to their calling, move forward in the plan of God. And do you realize how many positions are available in this ministry around these types of people? This is society. These are the people that we're dealing with in our everyday world, and God needs people to use so He can get them to recognize and respond to their calling like you. Well, if we don't respond to our calling, how are we going to influence anybody or have an impact on anyone else that God is trying to call? We're not going to have much at all. And if we do, it's not going to be as much as we could. So many people that are spiritually lost that you encounter every day, lukewarm, they're turned off with whatever religion they've been exposed to. It's not what they thought it was. It's not what the Word of God is telling them that they should be and what that it promises. They're at a loss right now. Or they're just holding on to something that is not there. Not responding. Got to get out of your comfort zone. No one wants to get out of their comfort zone. So, 1 Timothy 2:3 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Oh, well, there's only certain people that are saved. Salvation is only available to certain people, right? That's what some religion teaches you. This said God desires all men be saved. Every one of them. All. I don't care what they did in their past. He desires that all men, he didn't stop there though. It says, and come to the knowledge of truth. Don't just stop at salvation. Continue in what God is trying to do to in our lives. All men. But, you know, as with anything else, we have a volition, and that volition can reject what God offers. He can. I mean, as much influence as you can have in a person can reject what you're trying to give them. That's always an option. It is always an option. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand. It's hard to take. We pray and you know, we try to influence them in certain ways, and we hope that they do go in the right direction, because you just want to see the benefit in their own personal life. But when they reject that's kind of hard to understand. From your point of view, seeing that they could go in a better direction, but they don't always want that direction. So Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And what that's referring to is the Jews there specifically. You know, you have a called and chosen people that some of them don't even believe in Jesus Christ. But I'm just giving you an example to show you that there is a calling that some people just don't answer. There's a calling there. And that's what we don't want to see. And I want to leave you with this verse, and we'll talk about this when we come back, that has to do very much with our calling. Because, you know, if we're not responding to our calling, you have to ask yourself the question is, how much influence and what is God doing with you if we're not responding to Him? The verse is 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I'll read it. It says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ." That's an important part of this. An ambassador is someone who represents someone else. In this case, you're representing Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as God making an appeal through us." Did you hear that? God calls people through people, is what that's saying. God is making His appeal through us. Through us. And then Paul says, "We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So what this is saying is that Paul is referring to salvation in this specific instance. And he said, God is calling you through me, or you, or Paul in this circumstance. God calls people through people. And if we're not responding to our calling, what influence are we having? Well, not much, because there's a lot of people that can be influenced. I guarantee you, a lot. People you work with, people in your family, people that you are associated to every once in a while, maybe not often. But you get the idea. People you run into every day that you don't even know need spiritual something instead of nothing. But it all happens by your response to your spiritual life. If you're not responding, how are you going to respond to any other person? Can't do it. Not going to think about it. It's not in your priority list. You're concerned about yourself, your own circumstances, and everything you have going on in your own life. Not about everybody else. Remember, service to God is about other people. It's about other people. I don't do this for my own health. Right? If I did, I wouldn't be here. It's not about me. This is about you. It's about talking and speaking the Word of God so we can all learn and benefit from that. What benefit are you giving in God's plan and God's will for your specific life? There's got to be something, and I know there's something, because God gave every one of you a gift to use in ministry, in His ministry. So just need to find it, cultivate it, use it, take advantage of it. You've all got it. Some of you are already doing this. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying there's a lot to explore. Even with myself, we've always got to move forward. There's always something to do, something to see, something to learn, people to talk to, right? So just remember who's in charge, and you'll be fine. So with that being said, let's pray, and we'll I'll let you go for the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ability to see what your word says. As big of a deal as that is, we know that the value is in living a life that is for you, to you, and through you. And I just pray that we can not only realize who we are as Christians, but also begin to respond to the calling that you have placed on us personally. Each one of us have a calling. The matter is just response. So thank you for opening our eyes, opening our ears, and I just pray that we continue in the right direction. I ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.